Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Code Blue in the White House. Chapter 2, Successful Presidents. They won, and why? Styles of the successful presidents. All of the former and current presidents are successful by definition. They got elected. They successfully got elected in one way or another. Each president has had different personalities and personal backgrounds. All of the presidents since Eisenhower and the 1950s came out of politics as senators, governors, vice presidents, etc. Some of the presidents won on their first attempt. Others had to run a couple of times. Each president has had a particular style that they were known for. It could have been a stiffness or a good old boy attitude. They might have been more intellectual, or maybe they mostly saw it as an opportunity to vacation often and have others steer and run the ship. None of them received 100% of the electorate, electoral college, or popular vote. See the chart below. The entire American electorate never votes at every election. In more recent presidential elections, around a maximum of 60% of the eligible voters had their ballots counted. The presidents only have to win enough of the popular vote to get the Electoral College vote as a majority. If one is counting the popular votes, we might actually see that none of the above, or not voted, actually would win every time if the non-voters non-vote had also been counted. George W. Bush won without winning the popular vote in Y2K. In 1992, 1996, and 2000, the winner did not even garner 50% of the popular vote. In each of those years, third-party candidates got part of the popular vote, although none of those third-party candidates got any Electoral College votes. Examples of the Electoral College / popular vote counts for presidential races are as follows. 2012, the winner, Obama and Biden. Electoral College votes, 332 to 205. For Romney and Paul, who lost. The popular vote was 57.1% compared to 47.2%. In the same manner, we will read the winners, the year, the winners, the Electoral College votes, the loser, team, and the percent popular vote. 2008, Obama and Biden had 365 Electoral College votes. McCain and Palin, 173, with the popular vote 52.9% versus 45.7%. 2004, Bush and Cheney won with 286 Electoral College votes. Kerry and Edwards lost with 251, and the popular vote was 50.7% compared to 48.3%. In 2000, Bush and Cheney won with 271 Electoral College votes compared to Gore and Lieberman with 266 Electoral College votes. The popular vote was 47.9% for Bush and Cheney compared to 48.4% for Gore and Lieberman, who actually had more of the popular vote. Nader and LaDuke had 2.7% of the popular vote. In 1996, Clinton and Gore had 379 Electoral College votes. Dole and Kemp had 159. Popular vote, 49.2%. Clinton-Gore, 40.7%. Dole and Kemp, and Perot and Shoaite had 8.4% as third-party candidates. 1992, Clinton and Gore had 370 Electoral College votes. Bush and Quayle had 168. The popular vote was 43.0% for Clinton and Gore, and 37.4% for Bush and Quayle. Perot and Stockdale had 18.9% of the popular vote. In 1998, Bush and Quayle had 426 Electoral College votes. Dukakis and Benson had 111. The popular vote, 53.4% for Bush and Quayle, and 45.6% for Dukakis-Benson. 1984, Reagan-Bush, 525 Electoral College votes, and Mondale-Ferraro had 13 Electoral College votes. The popular vote, 58.8% for Reagan-Bush and 40.6% for Mondale and Ferraro. And in 1980, Reagan and Bush had 489 Electoral College votes. Carter and Mondale had 49. The popular vote, 50.7% for Reagan-Bush and 41% for Carter-Mondale. Anderson and Lucy had 6.6% as third-party candidates. All of that mathematical technicality aside, let's look at some of the personality styles of the presidents that might have helped them to win the elections. Note that this is by no means an exhaustive exposé or analysis of these particular presidents. It is just a snapshot of selected impressions by myself and others who should know. Presidential personality styles. Bill Clinton, palm pressing. According to John Cochran, who worked in the Clinton White House, quote, Bill Clinton was known for spending more time on a rope line than most politicians. I was at events where the speeches would wrap up and he would spend another 45 minutes to an hour working his way up and down the rope line, shaking hands, taking pictures, and having brief conversations. In fact, he was incredible at networking with people at face-to-face events. That's where he really shined. His attitude was, if people came out to hear him, often waiting for hours just for a glimpse of the president, then he would try hard to make sure everyone had the opportunity to shake his hand, get a quick picture, or just wave hello. You don't have to be president to implement this strategy. It's about giving the gift of your time to others, unquote. Was there also any business acumen that Bill Clinton brought to the table? Had he created successful businesses or businesses that had failed or caused him to declare bankruptcy? I don't recall Bill Clinton campaigning on his career in business. So, being a businessman is not necessarily an asset to winning the White House. George W. Bush was known as a frat boy, a partier, as a person who gave a nickname to everyone he met, including high officials from other countries. It was this familiarity that he promoted with those around him, as well as to the voting population, that seemed to make him a, quote, man of the people, unquote. Of course, he also had Karl Rove in his entourage creating political mischief to help improve his chances. But this good old boy personality, this familiarity, seemed to make many people able to identify with him, to make him feel close to them. It was what got him sufficient votes in the primary and the general elections to be able to have his presidency decided by the Supreme Court. There is also the famous and controversial video of President Bush reading a story to children at the time of the plane crashes into the World Trade Center towers in New York City. Video footage and timelines of the day show that he continued to finish reading for some number of minutes after being informed. Does this suggest that his deep humanity led him to continue to read? Was he afraid of hurting the young students' feelings by having to get up and leave suddenly? Was this part of the personhood of President Bush that people saw before the election and moved them to vote for him? Various magazine articles chronicled W's business ventures prior to election. And it didn't matter that many of his significant businesses were failures or paid for by Saudi Arabian investors. Many were said to want access to his father, George H.W. Bush, president at the time. W. was trying to find his own way in life. So perhaps again, being in business and failing repeatedly in those ventures, even with the help of OPM, doesn't seem to be a key determining factor in winning the presidency. Jimmy Carter was a man of the people. While he had a successful peanut farm prior to entering the White House, his southern charm and warmth helped people feel like they could relate to him. According to interviews President Carter gave on National Public Radio after his presidency, he returned to a farm that was deeply in the red. He and Rosalind almost divorced because of the strain of bankruptcy and being together so much time after the presidency. As he said in his radio interview I happened to listen to, he and Rosalind figured out a way to have their own lives and interact enough during the day to continue to like each other and stay married. But it was Jimmy Carter's ability to talk in front of the American public about such personal details of his life, showing his vulnerability, which made him so relatable to common people. At least I personally felt like he was concerned about the welfare of and cared about the, quote, common person, unquote. Also, as a major proponent and participant in Habitat for Humanity, Jimmy Carter enlisted the community in helping others rebuild homes. He really showed his caring for other people, the community, church life, and charitable activities. Jimmy Carter happened to have a background in business, successful, then failing, then again successful. Business acumen is likely something people didn't know about candidate Carter prior to the election. I certainly didn't until his open and honest interview on National Public Radio. President Carter also installed solar panels on the White House roof during his presidency. They remained there until Ronald Reagan won and had them removed. Barack Obama showed his humanity by working early on in his career in community organizing in Chicago before he became senator and then president. Apparently, this was after he graduated from Harvard Law School and was the editor of the Law Review, a prestigious position. Many wondered why he would give up a lucrative law career and go back to work in communities. As one of the college athletes who has been in the White House, his ability to stand tall, many presidents have been above average height, an advantage in winning elections due to primitive beliefs we humans have, hardwired in our brains, and speak with eloquence has served him well and may have been a factor in his winning the election. There was also the fact that he was running against John McCain and Sarah Palin. I personally think and feel that President Obama is a decent man and a great representative of the U.S., while I have some issues with some of his policies and actions. That aside, his ability to shed authentic tears of sadness, giving speeches about the mass murders of children, theatergoers, LGBT partiers, and others should give most people a respect for a man who deeply cares about other people. Business of Mr. Obama? I don't know anything about his business ventures or success. Ronald Reagan. Ronnie was a famous Hollywood actor and ex-governor of California before winning the presidency. He was considered to be conservative and have a warm smile and handshake. Some called him the, quote, great communicator, unquote. He cut federal income taxes for the rich and dramatically increased the U.S. military budget. In California, he is credited with emptying the mental hospitals, therefore increasing the homelessness of the mentally ill. On the other hand, it is said that his massive U.S. military buildup helped, perhaps, to bankrupt the Soviet Union trying to compete with the U.S. militarily. The Berlin Wall came down during his administration largely due to the policies and actions of Mikhail Gorbachev, whom he developed a personal connection with. The Iran-Contra affair also incurred occurred during his tenure. Ronald Reagan is remembered very fondly by most Republicans and is hailed as an icon and model to emulate. Summary of success. So, in looking at all of the above presidents, what helped their success in winning? All had to be leaders, and all had to show their humanity to get elected. Their business acumen, or lack of success therein, was not a key factor in their electability, apparently. Political connections, Ivy League or other elite college connections, definitely the latter two for many of the ones mentioned. At the heights of the presidency, does tall matter? Psychologists and anthropologists have found that tall does matter from a biological standpoint. The dominant males of the species often command the tribe. That applies to many species. It also applies to humans, and not only in the U.S. It was pointed out that Saddam Hussein was a tall man, 6'1" tall, 186 centimeters. He was ruthless, but his height was no doubt a commanding power that psychologically had its effect in Iraq. This is just one example of foreign leaders whose height made a difference. In the past, before the advent of television, which can distort anything, the physical presence of a candidate or president, or general for that matter, made a difference as far as their first impression power of selling. At the opposite side of the spectrum, we only have to think about the, quote, Napoleon complex, unquote, spoken about so much to see how influential this may be unconsciously, even if we want to think that we educated humans are intellectually above and uninfluenced by size. Just think about the survival brain. Would you rather face a mouse or a polar bear? Which commands more respect? We're not talking about athletes here, but they also illustrate the point well. Very tall and large basketball players draw the attention of the crowd. Large football and soccer players draw the attention of the crowd. Athletes don't have to be large to dominate in a field. However, in certain sports, they certainly have an advantage over shorter players, even in swimming, as Michael Phelps demonstrates. Again, you can't just be taller to win in sports. You have to be great at it. You have to practice and train. You have to psychologically prepare to be ridiculed. But the psychological advantage of being tall is there, in spite of the myths of David and Goliath and others. So, here is the rundown on heights of the U.S. presidents, according to internet and Wikipedia investigations. 6'4", 1.93 meters, Abraham Lincoln. 6 feet, 3.5 inches, 1.92 meters, Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ. 6'2", 1.88 meters, Bill Clinton. 6'2", 1.88 meters, George Herbert Walker Bush. 6'1", 1.86 meters, Barack Obama. 6'1", 1.86 meters, Ronald Reagan. 6'0", 1.84 meters, John F. Kennedy, JFK. 5 foot, 11.5 inches, 1.83 meters, Richard Nixon. 5 foot, 11.5 inches, 1.83 meters, George W. Bush. 5 foot, 9.5 inches, 1.77 meters, Jimmy Carter. The heights of a variety of other political figures, famous people, and comedians can be found in the resources chapter at the end of this book. Of course, there is absolutely no correlation between size and intelligence, but taller men and women command and often get more attention than shorter people throughout their lives, especially when they are standing side by side with someone less tall. Perhaps this is one reason for the media attention that the 6'3" Donald Trump garners. And how will Hillary Rodham Clinton fare at 5 feet, 4.5 inches, 164 centimeters? You have been listening to another chapter out of the book, Code Blue in the White House, The Successful Presidents Sell Voters to Win Elections. You can buy your own copy of this book on Kindle or on Amazon by going to the website, www.codebluein-the-white-house.com. That's codebluein-the-white-house.com. And continue listening to Natural Solutions with Dr. J. You will be able to hear other chapters out of this book, as well as other chapters read from the book Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, and Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic. We also have very interesting interviews with a wide variety of individuals across the professional spectrum, talking about dementia, talking about your brain, talking about health, and a wide variety of other topics that we feel will benefit you both in your physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional health arenas. This is Dr. J. Sordian wishing you a great day and looking forward to speaking to you again in the near future.